anything?
Yes.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Culture Scene. My guest this evening is Dimitri Salita. He is an Orthodox Jew. In fact, if you see him, you have absolutely no doubt that he is a devout Jew in his method of dress, the way he walks. But he has a very unusual profession. He happens to be a boxer, a champion boxer. Tonight, we'll try to find out what lies behind it. How did he come about that profession? How did he become a religious Jew? Good evening, Dimitri.
Good evening, how are you doing? Thank you for having me on.
Tell me, of all the professions a nice Jewish religious boy would gravitate to, why boxing?
You know, life happens in funny ways, as they say. And, you know, sometimes nothing is by accident. And sometimes, you know, a way a person's life happens, you know, leads them to certain ways and certain positions and certain professions and certain situations that, you know, that that may be outside the box. So certainly in my life, you know, many things happened, from immigration to the United States of America, meeting different people that I've met, you know, on my journey. All those things combined together and mixed up, you know, made me who I am today.
It's interesting.
So you have to be more specific. Yes. Please be more specific.
It's interesting.
Exactly with what you want to know.
In my mind, I always pictured a boxer as being basically a street brawler. Certainly not somebody you'd want to, you know, be good friends with unless you needed somebody to protect you.
Yeah, well, that's really not true.
When I first met you, I could not believe. You completely shattered the way I thought of a boxer. You sounded very articulate, very intelligent, very charming. And no, you did not go around with a chip on your shoulder, like daring everybody to fight you. In fact, if I had not been told you were a boxer, I never would have believed it. I never would have guessed.
Well, you know, they say don't judge a book by its cover. It's probably one of the greatest sayings of all time. Boxers are not really, while what they do may seem like an aggressive sport, they're not really, you know, other things of that personality don't necessarily go with. That's what people may think. You know, many boxers are nice guys and you know, don't necessarily fit into the bully type, you know, of what sometimes, you know, a boxer is. Sometimes they are, but many times they're not, you know. So my family immigrated to, you know, my family, I'm certainly, my story is definitely very unusual, you know, my story of becoming, of getting into boxing, becoming as serious as I have become about it, you know, it's very similar to many other youth from other backgrounds. Certainly, very similar to the great Jewish fighters from the 1920s and 1930s, you know, who also immigrated to the United States from Eastern Europe.
Well, what I find interesting is, and the reason I had that obviously very, very wrong perception of what a boxer is because when you look at people like Mike Tyson, for example, yes, he made a lot of money with his career, but basically, he's a street brawler. This is the type of guy who gets into a fight, and as he's about to lose, he bites off the other guy's ear. That's not what
you know,
call fighting with honor.
Well, you know, but for Mike Tyson, you know, there's guys like Oscar De La Hoya and Sugar Ray Leonard and Muhammad Ali and so many other great fighters that have you know, they've really made an impact through the sport of boxing and have really made themselves to be outstanding citizens after their career has been done. So, and, you know, you take a guy like Mike Tyson, and, you know, I know a lot of bad things have been said about him, and he did do a lot of bad things, but, you know, he was a 21-year-old kid who came from Bronx, who came from the ghettos of Brooklyn. At 21 years old, he was the heavyweight champion of the world, and you know, he was a very wealthy man, a very powerful man, a man that had social presence, a tremendous amount of social presence. So, you know, the truth is that even if you take an educated kid at 21 years old and you give him money and power and all the different things that come with being the heavyweight champion of the world, you know, a lot of people would do a lot of silly things. And he was a kid from the ghetto. He never really had, you know, a tremendous amount of formal education and media and pressure from all different people. You know, when you're a young kid and you're a boxer, you deal with so many different people, adults that are smart and cunning and charming and all these things, you know, and everybody pulls you in different directions. So sometimes you can lose your mind. And I think that for certain periods in Mike's life, he definitely, you know, that happened to him. But that could have happened to many other people as well. So, you know, now, you know, in the Torah it says, "Don't judge a man until you walk a step in his shoes." So, you know,
American Indian saying, "Do not judge a man until you have walked in his moccasins for 30 moons."
Exactly.
Right. But still, you completely shattered everything I ever believed about boxers. You were a very pleasant surprise. But I still do not understand. I understand that you are not always religious. What happened in your life that you suddenly decided to become Orthodox, an observing Orthodox Jew?
I was always religious, and by that I mean I always believed in God. I wasn't always observant because I grew up in a former Soviet Union, so I really had
no... Right, and it was very hard to be observant.
Right. Well, it's not that it's very hard. It's impossible because there's no education. So there's no education, and you know, you really have no knowledge of what it is, you know, of what Judaism is about. And, but... You know, I always believed in God, and I always believed that God was in my life ever since I was a very young boy. You know, Russian Jews are very proud of their Judaism. And, you know, I remember my parents. My grandmother went to Cheder when she was a young girl because she was born before communism came into power.
Mm-hmm.
And she remembered something. So there was, you know, like a slight touch of Judaism. But, you know, Russian Jews had a very strong relationship to and a strong feeling towards Israel. So, you know, ever since I was a young kid, I remember that, you know, even though we didn't know about, you know, Hanukkah and Purim and all these different holidays, we knew about Israel. And Jews represented their life, their love and their religion through their love and care for Israel.
So
my family came to the United States when I was 9 years old. This was in 1991. And, you know, first time in my life that I saw religious Jewish people walking on the streets, you know, with yarmulkes and beards and the whole Jewish garb. And it was pretty amazing to me. Because it's, you know, something that I've never seen before in my life. And, you know, I wanted to know what being Jewish meant. You know, I went to synagogue a couple of times, but, you know, becoming an observant person is a very delicate process. It's becoming, you know, getting in touch with the religious... with a religious pace of life is a very delicate process, and people that bring you closer to Judaism, you know, almost like doctors, because details are very important, and you know, if you make one mistake, you know, it could be, you know, you can burn somebody for the rest of their lives. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, in the beginning, I didn't really have very good experiences. I worked in swimming a couple of times, but didn't really get inspired and didn't feel it. Didn't feel like, you know, didn't feel part of the, didn't feel as one or the same as the other people that were going to synagogue. I felt different, and I felt like I didn't belong, really. And at the age of 13, I joined Stereo City Boxing Club. You know, pretty much from the beginning, I was good, and I trained very hard, and I somehow, you know, a spirit took over me, and I really felt like it was, you know, made me feel very good. And being in a boxing gym really helped me develop a very personal relationship with God, because, you know, part of boxing training is sparring, which is when you box with another person. And it's not like a team sport. You can't pass the ball to somebody. You're basically fighting somebody else. And it's a tremendous amount of pressure, even when nobody officially wins or loses. And, you know, I always used to pray to God, and it really helped me personally identify with spiritualities related to me. When I was 14, my mother became ill with breast cancer. And she was visiting a hospital, and I came to visit my mom, and she was sharing a room with an Orthodox religious lady, and, you know, we began a conversation. She was sharing a room with an Orthodox religious lady, and this lady's husband came to visit her, and I came to visit my mom. And, you know, I never shared such intimate space with an Orthodox religious bearded older man before, you know, and I had a lot of questions about God, about Judaism. And this guy was a very warm man, you know, we had a really good conversation. And he took my information and gave it to local Chabad rabbi. The rabbi's name is Rabbi Zalman Liberov. And, you know, the rabbi called me after several attempts, and I went, and kind of the rest is history. That's how it all started.
So you're a Lubavitcher Chosid?
Yes.
If I'm anything, I'm a, yeah, whatever Judaism is in me is Lubavitcher Chosid, yes.
Okay, very good. Now, I am sure that with a promoter like Bob Aaron, it must not have been very, very easy to convince him that there is no way you're going to fight on a Saturday, that there is no way you're going to fight on a Jewish holiday. How did you manage?
Well, actually, not fighting on Shabbos happened when I was still an amateur, when I wasn't a pro, and it was much, much more difficult because, you know, when you're a pro, and sometimes, you know, you have a team that could be helping you. But I was an amateur; I really didn't have anybody but myself and my belief in God. So, and when I was 18 years old, fighting at the U.S. Championships, I decided that I wouldn't box on Shabbos. Actually, I got to go back. I started going to the synagogue when I was 14 years old, and, you know, my observance started to grow a little at a time. It does not happen overnight, and it was very, you know, it was very slow but progressive. And I started to, you know, to put on tefillin and kind of more kosher, and, you know, I would progress in my observance. When I was 17 years old, I fought in the New York City Golden Gloves, which is a very popular amateur boxing tournament. Mm-hmm. And even Fox 5 News was following me through that particular tournament. Anyway, I made it to the finals, which were Madison Square Garden, and they were on Friday night. And at that particular time in my life, I was not, you know, Shabbos observant. So I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to fight and win. And, you know, tomorrow morning I'm going to go to shul and stay a little bit longer and thank God, you know, for giving me the opportunity, the blessing to win. But I didn't win, I lost. And it was, you know, a very difficult time for me, and very difficult for me to handle this loss. I didn't know which way my life would head. It was a year that I was graduating from high school, so, I would have to go, natural progression that you go to college and you get a job. You know, my family didn't have any money. That meant that I wouldn't be able to train, and my boxing dreams would be, would go down the drain. But a little while after that, I got invited to go to the U.S. Championships. And I trained myself, I prepared myself well. And before I left to this tournament, which was being held in Gulfport, Mississippi, I came to my rabbi and I asked him for a blessing that I should win. And rabbi suggested that I write a letter to the Rebbe, to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And I wrote a letter, and the answer that I got was, you'll be successful in what you do, and will have influence over many people, but do your job according to Jewish law, and it'll be good. So my rabbi told me that this means that you shouldn't box on Shabbos. It was a very difficult decision for me to make at that point in time in my life. But I decided that I would take that commitment upon myself. And this U.S. Championships was being held in Gulfport, Mississippi. And it was in the summertime, so national tournaments, people come there from all over the country, and you fight every day, just fighting on Monday and the finals on Saturday. So I told USA Boxing that if I make it to the finals, I can't fight on Saturday afternoon at 2:00, because I'm an observant Jew, and we can't box on that particular day. So they said, well, if you don't box, you can get disqualified. So I said to myself, I'll cross the bridge when I get there. I still had a lot of fights to win and a lot of very good boxers in my weight class. So I kept winning, and in the semifinals, I fought a very good boxer, one of the guys that was favored to win the tournament, and I beat him. And there was an upset. It was an upset of that tournament, and a reporter from the Sun Herald that was covering the tournament interviewed me and said, wow, Dimitri, what a great upset. Are you ready for the finals? I said, yeah, I'm ready, but I don't think I'll be able to fight because I'm an observant Jew, and the finals are at 2:00 on Saturday afternoon. USA Boxing told me that I'm going to be disqualified, so I'm going to have to forfeit this. And so this guy, his name is Dylan Hernandez, he spoke to USA Boxing and they changed my time for me, and my fight happened after Shabbos, and I won the U.S. Championships. And then the following year, I won the Golden Gloves. And only after that, I signed with Bob Arum. When I won the Golden Gloves the second time around, I've been getting a lot of press and as a U.S. champion and, it's all the things that were happening in my life. So Bob actually helped me, when I first signed with Bob, he helped me, be able to not box on Shabbos. He actually did a good thing for me. It was easy. He helped me in the beginning with that.
Now, how did you actually get to Bob Arum? How did he discover you? And usually, from what I understood, he would take seasoned fighters. You were too young to be a seasoned fighter, no matter how good you were. Obviously, he must have believed in you, or he never would have bothered. How did you meet him?
Bob doesn't only take seasoned fighters. Such companies as Top Rank, which is Bob Arum's company, they sign boxers that are good amateurs. So amateur boxing is equivalent to, college basketball or college football. So when they see that a young kid is doing good as an amateur and is ready to turn pro, they turn pro onto their company. So there was kind of two things. Bob's scouts saw me at the U.S. Championships and they called me after that and started to get in contact with me. And once that happened also, there was a Chabad rabbi, his name is Rabbi Shia Harlech, who lives in Vegas. And my rabbi's brother, his name is Israel Libor, happened to be a boxing fan. So he made the connection, and So Rabbi Harlitz put me kind of, you know, Rabbi Harlitz helped connect me to Bob Arum in the beginning.
Well, at least you are in the company of some of the greatest boxers in American history.
Yes,
he may not be the only promoter, but he certainly has top talent.
Yeah, so I'm no longer with Bob. I haven't been with Bob for like 8 years of my career. I was with him for the first 2 years of my career. But, yeah, you know, being from New York City you know, being with some of the top promoters, I've been around, you know, really great fighters since I was a young kid. That's definitely responsible for my success today.
Do you do anything special before a fight? Anything of a religious nature? Or you just go into that fight believing that you're going to win no matter what?
Well, you know, we have to create our vessels for our blessing. And I definitely always pray to God pray to God to give me the ability to train hard and to, you know, to be able to put myself through the discomforts and the discipline that it takes to get yourself in really good condition for, you know, for a fight. I talk to God in my own language, you know. I talk to God, you know, as God relates to me, and that's really it, you know.
Now, I see that in 2007 they made a movie of you, of your life as a fighter and as an Orthodox Jew. Orthodox Stance was the name of the movie. It was shown at the Silver Dogs Documentary Festival and again at the West Coast. It had its premiere in 2007 at the San Francisco Jewish Film Festival. How do you feel not only to be in the ring with some fierce fighters, but how do you feel also to be seen on the big screen?
Well, that was a documentary film. It was done by Jason Hutt. And, you know, it turned out to be really a great picture. But it really started very humble. And the reason why he was able to create such a good film is because it never really expanded. You know, it really was a one-man show for 3 years. Jason first read about me in the Washington Post, I believe, and he came out to see me. At first, he was gonna film me for like a little film for 4 weeks. He was gonna film me for a week. He was gonna follow me for a week and film me. And then a week grew into a month, and he came out to the first fight in Las Vegas. And a month grew into 3 months, and 6 months, and a year. And he hung out with us for 3 years. And the reason why, you know, he was able to really capture a lot of very intimate and incredible footage is because he kind of became like one, you know, he became kind of one of the coaches, you know, he became part of the team. And I didn't really pay attention to him, like, you know. So he just filmed his stuff and did what he did. And, we just kind of, you know, let him be. And everybody got used to him, and everybody didn't think that a camera was around. And that's why he was able to film, you know, really incredible stuff. And make a film of it. So I'm really honored that part of my life is captured. It's really, really tremendous.
In getting ready for our conversation, I watched a couple of short videos about you. You're incredibly fast. I mean, the speed that you display in the ring, just, you know, it's hard to understand. It's not what I would have expected by looking at you. If I had seen you on the street, like I said before, I never would have suspected in a million years that you're a boxer.
Well, you know, there was a great fighter, his name is Willie Pep, and he used to say, he who hits and runs today will live to see another day. So I try to hit and I get hit, you know, keep my pretty face.
Now, let's talk a little bit, not so much about, you as a boxer, but you as a Jew.
for a few seconds.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
There is no question that there were many things in your life that, even though it was not the easiest beginning, they definitely turned you to Yiddishkeit. They definitely turned you to love being a Jew and what it means being a Jew. Can you tell us, for example, a lesson that had a tremendous impact that changed your life?
Well, you know, I don't know if there was any one impact, any one moment that changed my life. I gotta say, you know, one of my mentors, one of the incredibly great person, was very close to me. Was my mentor Jimmy O. Jimmy O was not Jewish; he was an older black man, and he kind of took me under his wings since I was 14 years old. And Jimmy always used to say, "God works in strange ways." And, you know, I've been around many different people, and because of boxing, I've been in many different situations, and I've been around people that, you know, normally, you know, as I say, a religious Jewish boy would not be around. They would not be exposed to those kind of people in those kind of situations. And I feel that it really strengthened me and really, you know, educated me in many things in life, you know, for now and definitely for the future. So, yeah, you know, sometimes tough experiences can make you lose faith and can make you, can make you a very lesser man. But, you know, it's important to, I think, to, you know, and we all have tough experiences in our lives. So it's important to learn a positive lesson from that and, you know, let that lift you up and make you a better person. And, you know, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. So, yeah.
I understand that you have a brother. What does he do? And is he religious as well?
Well, yeah, I don't like the word. Everybody's religious. Everybody believes in God.
Are they observant as well?
My brother, first of all, my brother teaches special ed kids. He teaches kids. Young mm-hmm. kids. Kindergarten kids.
Uh-huh.
And he is on his way. I mean, he's on his way. He likes Judaism and he likes the culture. My brother's older than, you know, 9 years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So while I came to the United States, still kind of a young boy, you know, kind of before my formative years, he came here, you know, already as an older teenager. So he already has been exposed, you know, to more, you know, life in the USSR and you know, so he's kind of been molded, you know, kind of like an older person. So it's easier for kids to learn new language and to learn new culture
of
and
course.
To, you know, to absorb.
Of course.
So, yeah, so.
So in other words, you had an easier time than he did.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think all kids have an easier time, but I love my brother, and we're very, very close. He's like kind of my right-hand man, and has been and is a great guiding light in, you know, in my career and in my life.
Now, your name, you're outside of the ring. Your last name is Lechtman. How did you take the name? What?
My last name has always been Salita. Salita is my mother's last name.
Oh.
And when I was... Yeah, Salita is my mother's last name. And when I was born, you know, in the hospital, they wrote in his birth certificate, my name is Salita, and it was never really changed. So it kind of stayed with me.
Oh, I thought that the Salita was the professional name you took on.
No, it's
okay.
It's always,
I guess I was wrong.
Salita has always been with. I mean, like, you know, when I was 1 and 2 and 3, my name is Salita. You know, not a number. It's every name. I don't have different names. My father's last name is Lechma. So technically speaking, you know, by laws of the land, my last name should have been Lechman. But it wasn't. Because, I mean, it wasn't written down like that in my birth certificate. So it always stayed with me as Salita. So that's just kind of the way. It's kind of, I guess it's a little weird, but I always had the same mother and the same father. It's just the way, mm-hmm. The way it happened.
I understand. While I am sure there is nothing funny about boxing, I'm also quite ready to bet that you must have had somewhere in your career, you must have had an experience that on looking back proved funny. If so, care to share it with the audience?
Well, I've had a lot of funny experiences, and being around many different people, and people, people from different cultures, and of different, first languages and stuff like that. There's definitely a lot of fun, a lot of funny situations. I got to be honest with you, I can't really think of one. But there have been many. I'm just, I'm bad on the spot like that.
Okay. Let me ask a different question then. Is there anything that you want to share with the audience, something that is a lesson not just for a boxer, but a lesson that can be applied to life in general? And I am sure you must have learned many such lessons.
Well, I think one of the most important things about Judaism is discipline. You got to be disciplined. You got to wake up in the morning and pray. You got to eat certain kinds of foods. And, your day is breaking down, and your day is broken down in order. It's an order of events that have to happen. So, I think same in every profession. If you have discipline and focus, then you're more likely to succeed. One time a rabbi told me, God loves nothing more than hard work. So I really truly believe that. And I think that everybody's blessed with a certain talent and a certain gift and a certain capacity. And we have to work hard and make the most of it. I think that's our purpose as individuals in whatever facet of life that we're placed in.
Very nice. And we're just about out of time. You have proven to be a fascinating guest.
Thank you.
I'd like to have you again. And next time, we will discuss a few other facets that we were unable to discuss on such a short 30-minute show. Thank you for being our guest. You've been very gracious and agreeing to be with us. Good night. And good night, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. Please tune us in again next Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Thank you very much, and good night, one and all. Good night.
Good night. Thank you very much.
Thank you.